everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
Lori Cardoza Moore is an Emmy Award-winning producer of multiple documentaries, her latest, Israel Indivisible. She is also founder of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, an organization dedicated to producing media to bring awareness to the plight of Israel, our need to support them, and their rich heritage and why they have the rights they claim, ordained before the beginning of time. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, Lori Cardoza Moore. Lori, welcome back to Testimony.
Jensine, thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be back.
Well, it's great to have you and here in person at the NRB in Nashville and attending your event the other evening, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. I was blown away. Would you begin to tell our audience about your latest Emmy Award-winning documentary, Israel Indivisible, and what it means?
Absolutely. Well, Jensine, Israel Indivisible was a film, a project that really saw its beginnings back in 2003. You know, I was relatively new to the pro-Israel initiative that was starting to unfold in the evangelical Christian world. And I was, because my background is media, one of the things that I paid a lot of attention to was the narrative coming out of the media with regards to Israel. You know, we were coming out of, in 2003, we were coming out of the Second Intifada. You know, we heard all the rhetoric on the news, the talking heads. And I would hear the Israeli dignitaries speaking about, you know, trying to respond to all of this negative propaganda. And it was actually frustrating because after years of studying the scriptures, I knew who Israel was. I knew who the Jewish people were. And I understood that they are the inheritors of the land of Israel. And I would ask myself, I would talk to the television, I'd say, why don't they just tell the world, this is our land, it was biblically mandated to us, and we're going to fight to keep it. Nobody has a right to tell us otherwise. And so I had contacted the Consul General to Israel in the southeast, Shmuel Ben Shmuel, who is to this day a very dear friend of mine. And I said, Shmuel, I said, can you send me whatever the Israeli government publishes on, you know, that makes the case for Israel's rights to the land? So he sent me a packet of information, and my husband and I went on vacation. I, of course, took my work with me. There is no vacation for me. Are you kidding? Of course, I brought all the materials, and I was reading through it, and we were out off the coast of Miami, deep sea fishing, and we're relaxing, you know, and I'm going through the materials, and there was one brochure publication that the Israeli government had published called The Disputed Territories. And so I read through this booklet, and in the booklet, the Israeli government makes the case for Israel historically, legally, biblically, and archaeologically. And when I was done reading this, I gave it to my husband. I said, you have got to read this. This is the best argument about Israel's rights to the land. But I can't understand why the Israeli government isn't saying all this. They published this. And so when we came home, I contacted Shmuel, and I said, I read through the materials. Thank you for sending them. But the one that stands out for me is this disputed territories. I said, tell me, Shmuel, why isn't this the narrative that the Israeli government puts out with their talking heads? And he says, oh, well, there's politics. And I said, okay, fine. You deal with the politics. This is a story that the world has to hear. So we developed a synopsis, and I tried pitching it. There were a couple of other film projects that we were trying to pitch also to raise funding for. We could never get the funding. And it was frustrating. I thought, gosh, if there was ever a time for this message to be communicated, the time is now. However, God did have a plan for it, but it wasn't until later. And of course, last year, we showcased the film Israel Indivisible at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. However, we actually did a focus group screening in Ariel, Israel, which is, the world knows it as the West Bank, but we know it as Judea and Samaria, that area that God that is spoken about. So we took the film to Ariel University. The chancellor was there to greet us. There were people within the community who came. But we said to them, we've come here to show this film because this is the message, this is the story we're going to tell the world. And before we take this message to the world, we want you to see the story we've told, and we want you to tell us, are we telling it correctly? We want to make sure that you're being honored in it. So, you know, we're open afterwards. We'll have Q&A if there's any comments, any feedback. After the film was over, after we screened the film, they were absolutely blown away. The chancellor even got up and spoke, and he says, we've never screened a film at this university. And for you to bring us this one. And he said, we can't believe it. They invited us to have lunch on the campus the next day. They were just so honored that we would take this initiative on. So knowing that I had the support of the Jewish community in the Holy Land, amongst the so-called settlers, that gave me the impetus and the boldness, the courage to go forward and tell the world, this is our message, and we know we're telling it from an Israeli perspective. We have their support, and this is the message that the Christian world has to hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Lori Cardoza Moore. You said when 9/11 happened, you're a homeschooling mother of five. You're in the media, so is your husband. You said that day changed everything for you. Proclaiming Justice to the Nations has been in existence for how long?
Actually, this is our 10th year, Jensine. 10 years.
Your 10th year, and in 10 years, I want you to tell our audience, where is Israel Indivisible being heard along with your other documentaries, Lest We Forget, The Forgotten People, Forgotten People, Christianity, and the Holocaust, all award-winning documentaries. Tell us about the impact you are having in the region, in America, in Israel.
Oh, yes, I'd be delighted. In fact, Jensine, you know, when we started the organization, our goal was to produce award-winning films and programs that we would raise money from the private sector to produce, and then we would give these films away for free. And of course, at the time when we were doing it, that, you know, it was 2006 was when we started Lest We Forget, and then we went into 2009 we finally completed The Forgotten People. But when we started here at NRB, our goal was to provide this material to the Christian broadcasters for free. Many broadcasters have a difficult time with fundraising, with the financial resources, to be able to purchase programs like this. And a lot of them produce these programs in-house. But what we wanted to do was create award-winning programs that we would give to them for free if they would only agree to air the programs. Because my goal, of course, our organization is a nonprofit organization, but my goal is to get this message out in front of as many Christians around the world that we possibly could. Well, the Forgotten People documentary was so inspiring to Jeffrey Levinson with God TV. He was actually the first major network to pick up our program. And he asked if he could run it for free. I said, absolutely. And they took it. They aired it in over 200 countries, reaching over 500 million homes. After we finished Israel Indivisible and Focus on Israel, Daystar got into it. Daystar offered to broadcast them globally, reaching as many countries and as many households. So as we started to develop these relationships and we were going and speaking with a lot of these other broadcasters, we ended up bringing more broadcasting networks online. We now have 8 different networks that are airing our films and our Focus on Israel television program around the world, reaching hundreds of millions of Christians. And as a result, over the last 2 years, we have been able to reach Christians in 181 countries. We know that our messaging works. Our goal is to educate and then activate. And we hear from Christians all over the globe, Jensine, who want to air our films, who contact their parliamentarians. Even if they don't live in the United States, they're taking our call to action in the U.S., and they're applying that call to action in their countries with their governments.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a woman who started this idea at her kitchen table. And this should be an encouragement to anyone listening out there. The power of one person to be obedient, to implement what God wants to have done from the kitchen table to the nations of the world. You are also a special envoy now to the United Nations, and it seems that God has used your media skills and your Emmy award-winning skills to really bring out a clear and concise message. In our remaining moments here, Lori, can you address the one stumbling block that has Americans believing that Israel does not have the right to the land they claim?
Well, there's many things that I could cite, but I'm gonna cite it from the perspective of the Christian perspective, because America still is a Judeo-Christian nation, despite what this administration will say. And the greatest hindrance to this message and receiving this message is replacement theology within the Christian church. And this is what grieves me, because Christians are not studying their Bibles. They go to church on Sunday. They take the, you know, one verse that the pastor has been teaching on topically, and that's how they formulate their opinion. And they may, you know, their attitudes are such that because the Jews rejected Jesus, God's done with them, we're the church, we replace them. And that is the biggest lie that has been taught and has been used against the Jews throughout history, really since the time of Christ. So I think our greatest stumbling block, our greatest hindrance, is the church itself. And that's why, Jensine, it is so critically important that at this time in history, as we're watching all of these world events unfold against Israel, against the West, against Jews, against Christians, if we don't know where we've come from as Christians, we will not be prepared for where God is taking us.
Thank you, Lori. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Lori Cardoza Moore, Emmy Award-winning producer of her latest documentary, Israel Indivisible. We are going to hear more from Lori next week on Testimony as we dig even deeper as to the reasons why, when Israel says they own the land, they mean it. They own it, and she'll explain why. Lori, thank you for being with us on Testimony. God bless you. We look forward to speaking with you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Jensine. God bless you, too.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week you heard the compelling story of Lori Cardoza Moore, founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. She has a message. It's about Israel and our need as Americans to stand with them for such a time as this. But not only this, Lori is an on-the-ground, boots-on-the-ground activist to keep anti-Semitism out of your children's textbooks. We're going to talk about some of those initiatives, her work as a UN convoy to the United Nations, and more. Would you welcome back to Testimony a wonderful honor indeed, Lori Cardoza Moore. Lori, welcome back to Testimony.
Jensine, thank you. It's great to be back again.
Well, Lori, I want to get right to it. Your latest Emmy Award-winning documentary, right, Israel Indivisible, is astounding everyone from everywhere. Every network is picking it up. Your message is going out to 180 million people across the nation, in Israel, in America. And all of this started at your kitchen table.
Right.
You're a homeschooling mother of five, as a recap. And 9/11 happened, and that changed everything for you. And you've been in the media, you're a professional. Both you and your husband, God is using your gifts and talents to literally proclaim justice to the nations on behalf of Israel. So for part two of our conversation today, let's get right to it. What are some of the initiatives that you are now working on?
Absolutely. Well, I want to just tell you about our next documentary film that's in the initial stage. We're in the pre-production phase, and we're, of course, trying to raise the funding for the film. But the next documentary is going to deal with the BDS movement, or the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement. This has become a growing problem around the world, where governments, businesses, universities, college universities, and even finding on middle school and high school campuses propaganda accusing Israel of being an apartheid state. Academic professors threatening to boycott Israel's professors. You have businesses threatening to boycott Israel. So it's a growing problem, and it's an issue that people must understand. This is really anti-Semitism in its modern form. In Germany, it was marginalizing the Jews because they were Jews in Germany and Europe. But now it's marginalizing Israel, and it's all these nations of the world wanting to target and annihilate Israel. They make it very clear. They don't hide. They don't try to, you know, speak privately behind closed doors. Now they're very public about their agenda. As a result of that, one of our latest initiatives that kind of fell in our lap, Jensine, you know, I homeschooled my children, so I'm real big on history. I love history. In fact, that's always been one of my favorite subjects. One of our members, who is a PJTN watchman, her son came home from school one day asking who had legitimate rights to Israel. And this is a Christian family. This is a woman that I went to Bible study with. She homeschooled her kids. He comes home from school, asks the question, who has rights to the land? And she says, what does the Bible say? And he says, no, Mom, I know what the Bible says, but tell me who really has legitimate rights. That's very disturbing, Jensine, because here is a teenage boy. He's a ninth grader. He's in an honors history class in high school in Williamson County, Tennessee, which is part of the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. So here's a young man who's going to school, he's studying, opens up his textbook, reads a quote that basically is legitimizing killing Israeli teenagers in a Jerusalem restaurant because the poor Palestinians are waging war against Israeli government policies and army actions. Well, when the mother went through her son's instructional materials and textbook, and she found this information, she immediately contacted us. You know, people always say to me, your mission with PJTN is to educate, and you use media and film to accomplish that, but do you really mobilize people to action? Does your films really inspire people to take a stand?
Right.
Well, here is an example of another homeschooling mom who decided to take action. She brought the book to me, we looked at it, and we launched a campaign to remove that textbook from our local school district.
Wow.
We met resistance because, unfortunately, even in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, here we're Christian parents thinking that our public schools are safe, we've got Christians on the school board, they're gonna be keeping an eye out for stuff that is antagonistic toward Christianity or might be anti-Semitic, because these are, after all, mostly evangelical Christians who live in this community. But it's not the case. And so we petitioned the superintendent of schools. He assured us he was going to get to the bottom of this. Well, 4 months later, we never got a word back. We had resistance from the principal. We ended up going back to the superintendent and asking what he was going to do about it. And he decided he wasn't, he would appoint a committee to review the textbook. And so we went and presented. I had an hour and a half to present the findings in the textbook. I only focused on the anti-Semitic quote. And but the committee decided to keep the book. That was a recommendation, that it was just one paragraph. It happened to be under the title or the chapter that stated, "Why is terrorism on the rise?"
Wow.
So why is terrorism on the rise? Well, it's because the Israelis. Because the poor Palestinians don't have their land.
Wow, so they are blaming it on the Palestinians in a school textbook, and Israel is being defamed.
Absolutely.
And your reaction to that when you read that was what?
I was absolutely shocked. And you know, I've been involved in this whole pro-Israel movement. I've been familiar with how children in Arab-speaking countries are taught in their textbooks. Even the Palestinian children, we hear stories all the time that there is, in their history books, there's no map, but there's no Israel on their map in the Middle East. It's Palestine, it's their land. So now we're starting to see in our textbooks, so that was the first time I was, you know, this was brought to my attention. So we end up going and going through the process of trying to have the textbook removed. Well, we couldn't get it removed. And we publicly told that school board when they went to go vote to adopt the decision by the textbook review committee in Williamson County, or to remove the textbook, because that was the responsibility of the school board members to vote to approve or deny. And so we told them publicly, if you, whoever votes to keep this textbook, next election cycle, we will remove you from office. And you know what, Jensine? We did. Not only that, we launched a media campaign. You know how powerful and effective media is. Well, we bought radio time, and we started educating parents in Middle Tennessee about examples, giving parents examples on conservative talk show. We had 60-second radio spots, giving examples on these conservative talk shows 5 times a day, 5 days a week for 2 weeks. We were able to mobilize people across the region. There were parents in Rutherford County, the next county over, that got involved. Parents started making their kids bring their textbooks home. We started getting phone calls. Before you knew it, we were organizing parents together on a local level to take back control, local control, of their children's education, their textbooks. And Jensine, you know, it. Sometimes I get frustrated. I wonder, where is the church, and is anybody listening? Is anybody going to do anything about it? But this is an example. Does education for Christians work? Do our programs work? Absolutely. Another homeschool mother who put her child in public school and decided she was going to take a stand. She was going to take action. Every time I did an interview, every time we put out a press release, we also exposed Pearson Publishers, the largest textbook publishing company in the world. 60% of their sales come out of the United States. The Libyan government owns 26 million shares of stock. They are based out of Great Britain. Their mission statement says that their mission is to change the way America thinks. Now, I've made this issue public. I need to go to their website and see if they changed their mission statement, because it's so blatantly obvious. But however, we launched this campaign 2 months before school let out, which would be the time when school districts across the country would be purchasing textbooks. We went global with the story. Fox and Friends picked up the story. Al Jazeera America, Washington Times covered the story. I mean, we had news outlets all over the country that were doing interviews with me asking about this. So every time I had the microphone, I was always pushing what Pearson did. Well, within 6 months, by October of that year, 2013, Bloomberg News is reporting that Pearson's stock is dropping. By January 2014, Pearson is laying off employees in North America. Can one mom, can one student make a difference? Jensine, we can't remain silent. We are standing for justice. We are standing for righteousness. And if we will be obedient to do our part, God will be faithful to do his.
That's incredible, Lori. And you were that one person at that kitchen table at 9/11 that really propagated what you have today. Ladies and gentlemen, Lori Cardoza Moore, proclaiming justice to the nations, president and founder. Lori, do you have a mobilization in place to go to all the 50 states? If someone wanted to do what you have just described, what would they need to do?
Well, they first need to contact us. If they find something in their child's textbook, we're asking people to contact us. We have 9 states now who have contacted us to ask us to come and speak to them and help them organize their communities. Basically, what we're doing, Jensine, is what I call the Nehemiah principle. And the Lord reminded me of this in my prayer time with him. He said to apply the principle that Nehemiah did. When Nehemiah was given the authority to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he went and he assessed the damage. And then he organized people, that the leaders of districts in front of sections of the wall, families who lived in front of other sections of the wall, and he convinced them all to just build your portion. Just rebuild your portion. And we know from the text of Scripture that Nehemiah and all of his supporters, who had skin in the game because it was right in front of them in their neighborhood, because they did that, they were able to rebuild the wall in record time, 52 days.
And in the Scripture, it does say he had a sword in one hand,
yes,
and a Bible, the Word of God, in the other. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Lori Cardoza Moore. Lori, I want to thank you for your phenomenal work that you're doing for Americans all across this country, for Israel. Her latest Emmy Award-winning documentary, Israel Indivisible, you need to get it. Go to proclaimingjusticetothenations.org. If you want to get involved in the local level, contact Lori. She can get you all the information you need. One person can do amazing things, and this lady right here, ladies and gentlemen, is perfect proof.
Thank you, Jensine. Thank you so much for having me, and God bless you for giving us, providing this opportunity to mobilize more Christians to take a stand.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.